the 16th chapter, starting at the 25th verse, and it reads, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaking. And immediately all the doors were open, and even everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" Amen. I want to talk to you from the subject entitled, "You Know You Make Me Want to Shout." No. Look at your neighbor and say, "You know you make me want to shout." When you think about all that God has done for you in 2018, that ought to make you. Oh, I don't know what you come to do, but I told you earlier as we begin this thing, I come to have church. Amen. In 1959, out of the spur of a moment to prolong the crowd's excitement, Ronald Isley ad-libbed on the end of Jackie Wilson's song entitled "Lonely Teardrops." Yeah. Now, don't act like y'all so holy that y'all don't know what I'm talking about. The song derives out of the type of call and response you would hear in church. The crowd heard the gospel undertone in the music. They heard the tambourine playing and the organ playing and the drum playing, and they began to get excited. The crowd heard the gospel undertone in the music because for the time, a long time, as they were babies, their mothers taught them how to sing. Their mothers was a pianist and a choir director at First Baptist Church. They left out the African, but she was there. In downtown Cincinnati, the church was a high-spirited church, and their church would explode with excitement when they heard good preaching. I don't know about you today, but I heard some good preaching, and I heard some good teaching, and I heard some good singing, and the church would explode. In the early 1950s, the Isley brothers formed a gospel group to carry on their mother's teaching in the undergirding of African retention. The gospel sound that was so interwoven in the fabric of their being. But in 1957, after their father, O'Kelly Sr., died of a heart attack, they began to sing what is called doo-wop to earn a little money to help their family out. A lot of young gospel groups were doing the same thing at this time. It was a natural move. Vocal harmony was at the heart of both gospel and doo-wop. It is interesting to note that at the heart of African spirituality, there is no separation between secular and spiritual. Let me say that again. At the heart of African spirituality, there is no separation between secular and spiritual, because Africans believe that everything has a spiritual connotation to it. So if we could put down our biases and judgmental personalities for just a moment, I just want to talk to you about, you know, he makes me want to shout. Before I can get to the pericope, I need to give you some backdrop of the context. Preceding chapter 16, the author Luke helped us to understand the purpose of the missionary for what we know as Paul's second missionary journey. Luke tells us that Paul set out for Derbe and Lystra in search of a young brother named Timothy. Prior to chapter 16, around the 14th chapter, Luke informs us that Lystra was the place where Paul went on his first missionary journey. Lystra was the place where Paul, where the people thought that Paul was a Greek pagan god and wanted to sacrifice a bull to him because he healed a lame man.
Well,
Lystra was the place where they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the town and left him for dead.
Yes, sir.
Yet we find Paul once again going on a second trip down to Lystra.
Uh-huh.
Lystra looking for a young disciple whose name was Timothy, who was well spoken of by the people in the community. And yet we find Paul traveling to Lystra once again. I don't know about you, but if they did all that to me, I wouldn't be going back there unless I had something to go with me.
Well,
Paul found the circumstance, the young man, and they went on their merry way from town to town, delivering the decisions that were reached by the apostles and the elders of the church of Jerusalem. So that the church was strengthened in by faith, and result of that, it increased daily.
Yes, sir.
Furthermore, my beloved, after being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak in various places. Oh, let me just put an anchor right there. Sometimes you ought to shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Paul had a vision at night of a man pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. They immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called them to proclaim the gospel and the good news to them. And sometime thereafter, we find them arriving to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia.
Yes.
In addition to this, after staying in Philippi some days, they went on down on the Sabbath day outside of the gate down by the riverside.
Amen.
And they supposed they were having some church down by the riverside. They supposed they were praying down by the riverside. They supposed they were singing down by the riverside. Has anybody here ever been down? By the riverside? It was down by the riverside. Some folks say that they were going to lay down their sword and shield. It was down by the riverside that some folks say they would study war. It was down by the riverside where folks would put their long white robes on and baptize you. When there was no great edifices built with baptismal pools, they would dip you in the river and you came up brand new.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever been down by the riverside?
Yeah.
Where there's no limitation, there's no boundaries, there's no constraint. It's down by the riverside. Where the folks can have church without walls.
Lord.
Let me say that again. It was down by the riverside where folks can have church without walls. Too many of us get inside our walls and don't know how to act. The benediction has been lifted. I mean, they have church. It ain't my fault. That's my president right there. They had church down by the riverside. That might be a little too old for some of you folks. So let me try it again. Sam Cooke took you down by the riverside when he said, I was born by the river. In a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but a change. It's gonna come. Oh yes, it will. Well, that might be a little too old for some folks too. Let me talk to some of the young folks in the crowd. Well, if I'm speaking in this 21st century context, it was Noel Gordon who said, I held my breath when they dipped my head, then I came up shining and new. I learned about love in the backseat of my Apollo where they laid my grandfather too. Down by the river where black folks gathered after Sunday service is through. How by the river? How the river runs to the ocean, I'll be running back to you. Has anybody ever been down by the riverside? A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to them. The Bible says the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what Paul was saying.
Yes, sir.
Later, Luke shares with us, his readers, that once she heard what they were saying, her whole house was baptized.
Yes.
How many know today by one person your whole house can see, can be saved? Come here, Rahab, and tell the people how you hid the spies. And when you hid the spies, you told them that you want to be saved when they come back and going into the promised land by one person.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Whole house.
Tell the story, Reverend.
A whole house.
Yes, sir.
Can be saved. Luke thought it not robbery to state one day as they were going down by the riverside,
yes, sir,
to the meeting place, the church place, the place where they gathered, they met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination,
yes, sir,
and brought her owners a great deal of money.
Yeah.
Pastors, I know your members in the church. I mean, I know your members here. You can't say what you want to say, but let me say it. Some folks in the church got a spirit of divination, and ain't nothing you can do about it but cast it out. They always got something to say. You can't please them no matter how hard you try. These men. She cried out, these men are slaves of the Most High God.
Yeah.
Who proclaimed to you a way of salvation. She kept doing it for days. Paul became very irritated.
Yeah.
You know how some folks just make you downright irritated? Like they wake up in the morning just to get on your nerves. It made Paul irritated. And Paul turned aside and cast the spirit out. Now, when her owners heard what had happened,
yes,
and how they cast Kyle, ceased to keep bringing money in because Paul cast out the spirit of divination.
Yeah.
They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities.
Yeah.
How many know when you start messing with people's money?
Here we go.
When you start messing with the folks who got their hand in places that don't need to be.
What's up? Here we go.
When you start shutting some stuff down, that's out of order.
Here we go.
They will come drag you into the place of embarrassment just because they are not on the same page of what God is trying to do.
The owners
charged Paul and Silas with disturbing the city and advocating customs that were not lawful for the city to adopt or observe. The authorities had money. Hold on. Watch this technology. The owners charged Paul and Silas with disturbing the city and advocating customs that were not lawful to observe. Afterwards, they threw them into prison,
yes,
and ordered the jailer to keep them secure.
Yes, sir.
After receiving such instructions, the jailer put them in the innermost cell,
right,
and fastened their feet,
yes, sir,
in the stocks.
That's right.
He didn't put them in the holding cell.
No.
He put them in the innermost cell.
That's right.
And then put them in the stocks.
Yeah.
This brings us to our pericope for tonight.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I just want to say, you know you make me. You know you make me. Oh, you know you make me want to shout. Oh, I want to suggest to you tonight that if you're going to shout about anything, you ought to shout about what God had done for you.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to shout about what anything that 2018 have done, you ought to include what God had done for you down through the years.
Yeah, I know you, sir.
If you're going to shout about anything, you ought to shout about the goodness of God from one year to the next.
Yes, sir.
Hear me when I say, shout, shout.
Yes, sir.
Midnight is approaching.
Yes, sir.
And you ought to shout about it.
Right. That's right.
We must at all times, beloved, and in all places, recognize time with purpose. Let me say that again. Preach, preacher. We must at all times and in all places recognize time with purpose.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says about midnight.
About midnight.
Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Ecclesiastes put it this way: to everything there is a season.
Yes, sir.
A time to every purpose under the heavens.
Yeah.
Everything happens in times and seasons. It is what we might call the cycle of time.
Yeah.
We must understand, my beloved brothers and sisters, that time is of an essence.
Yeah.
We also must realize that time is an essential tool to our survival.
Yes,
let me make it plain. Midnight is a time.
Yes, sir.
Midnight is the transitional point, period, crossover from one day to the next. It is at the point of crossover, beloved. It is at the moment in which last night leaps into a brand new morning.
Yeah.
Everybody does not have the same midnight experience.
Lord,
what do you mean, preacher? Well, based on the world's time zone system, midnight is different depending on where you're at in the world.
Yes,
no matter what you're going through in life, you can rest, you can stake your last bottom dollar, your last $2, the singer said. You can stake it on the fact that no matter what you're going through, there's somebody in the world that's going through it, been through it, or shall go through it.
At midnight,
the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says, weeping may endure.
Yes, sir.
Just for a night.
For a night.
Yes, sir.
For joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy. Comes in the morning. Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. Most of us can't recognize when the new day comes. Let me say that again. Most of us can't recognize when the new day comes. The problem, beloved, is a lack of knowledge. If we are unable to recognize time with purpose, then we will perish because we are no longer able to identify when morning comes. Just because it's dark outside and the sun has not risen does not mean it's not morning.
Well,
Paul and Silas understood this concept because it was about midnight hour that they began to pray and sing hymns unto God. The purpose of the matter is that they realize that the same God they preached about has the power to make a brand new day better than the last. I come to empower, I come to enlighten, I come to impact your life tonight with the knowledge of knowing that there's a brand new day approaching and that you should shout about it. Oh! You just make me want to shout.
Yeah.
You got to recognize. That's the first point. Now, if you're writing stuff down, that's the first point. You got to recognize time with purpose. Because just because it's dark outside doesn't mean it's not morning. And you can miss your joy just thinking that it's still night.
Amen.
Once we're able to recognize time with purpose, then and only then will we be able to seize the moment with praise.
Okay.
Let me say it again. Once we recognize time with purpose, then and only then we can seize the moment with praise.
Let everything
that has breath, praise ye the Lord. Oh, how you make me want to shout. We walk around day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, waiting for the pastor to tell us when to praise. When to clap our hands. When to say amen. You ought to walk in the door with praise on your mind. You ought to have worship in your spirit even before you get out your car.
That's right.
Once we're able to recognize time with purpose, praise should be something we do automatically.
Automatically.
If I got to instruct you to praise, if I got to tell you to say amen, if I got to talk to you and tell you what to talk about the goodness of the Lord in your life,
that's a problem. That's a problem.
Lord, have mercy, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Come on, church. Seizing the moment with praise suggests that we realize if it had not been for the Lord on our side, and we praise, it suggests that God has the power to liberate us from dying situations. And we shout, it advocates that we know when praises go up, blessings come down. It proposed that great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need of, thy hand has provided. Great, 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 great is thy faithfulness. Great Lord unto me.
That's right.
Oh, that's why I feel like shouting. That's why I got to move my feet and clap my hands and give the Lord some praise. Oh, you know you make me want. Is there anybody here who don't mind giving God some praise?
Yes, sir. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
Is there anybody here
Come
in
on,
a place that can give up looking cute for just a moment to spend some time praising and worshiping our God?
That's
right. Are there some folks in here
that
don't mind messing up their makeup?
Right.
Sweating out their hairdo,
right.
Scuffing up their gaiters, to wave their hands and give God some praise when you ain't got a word to say.
Thank you,
Lord. That's all right, Reverend.
Is there anybody in the building that says praise is what
I do?
You ain't got to make me praise.
Right,
you ain't got to usher me. You ain't got to instruct me. Praise is what?
That's what I do.
See, Mount Zion ain't seen me act a fool like this. Y'all pushing me.
That's all right, Reverend.
Seizing the moment with praise gives the authority to God to come into your life like a mighty rushing wind, to come like an earthquake, to disturb the foundation of stuff that is going on in your life and turn it all around.
That's right.
Just for you.
Just for you.
Just for me.
Just
for you.
Yes, sir.
Just for me.
Yes.
Just for you.
Yes.
Just for me. It will allow God to unlock some doors and unfasten some chains up stuff in your life. Seizing the moment with praise or shout is very important because people are watching and listening to you. Look what the Bible says. I ain't lying. I ain't making this up. The Bible says, and the prisoners was listening to them. Folks are looking and watching. Listening to how you glorify and how you praise and how you magnify God. If God ain't doing nothing in your life, then you ain't got nothing to say. But if God's been good to you,
give him some praise.
You ought to give him.
Give him some praise.
Some praise.
That's right.
Manifested in your life in the midst of your midnight hour experience. I stopped by to encourage you and to let you know God just make me want to shout.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you know you make me want to shout. We must praise God more this day than we did last.
Yes. Lord. Yes.
You got that right.
It's a new day.
Yes, it is.
Recognize the time with purpose. Seize the moment with a shout. And finally, beloved, it is not until you acknowledge or knowledgeable enough to recognize time with purpose, humble enough to seize the moment with praise and shout, that you become a transparent witness.
Hallelujah.
It's right there in the text. Look at the text. The Bible says, when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew out his sword and was about to kill himself. Since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, do thyself no harm. For we are all here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, let me say that again. We are all here. Let me say it so somebody get it.
Yes, sir.
We are all here. Let me say it again. We are all here. The jailer called for a light, rushed in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, sirs, what must I do?
Be safe.
If you ain't here getting the teaching, if you ain't here getting instructions, if you ain't here getting the fundamental, rudiment, and basis of Christianity, when they see you, you look just like them.
Oh,
but when the light shines on you, and God is in you, through you, and around you, then they gonna say, what must I do? To be saved. When people see the image of God and the power of God manifesting in your life and around you, this make the light of God transparent in you.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm a light, my light shine before men,
yes,
that it
sir.
Might glorify my Father which is in heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
What's good? What good is it if you have a light and you hide it under the bushel?
Yeah. Right.
It profits you nothing. Right. Your light was meant to shine.
Lord, yeah.
That God may be transparent when people look at you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
all. The jailer called for a light, but once he seen that all the prisoners were still there, he seen a greater light,
Lord Emery,
which caused him to fall to his knees and ask, what must I do?
To be saved. Lord Emery.
What must I do to be saved? What must I do to praise God?
Yes.
What must I do to shout?
Yes.
What must I do to give him glory?
Yes.
What must I do to give him recognition?
Yes.
What must I do to give him honor? What must I do to be saved?
Lord have mercy.
The world is hungry for transparent witnesses. They ain't looking for church folks.
Lord have mercy.
They looking for people who is real, going through real stuff, that can share their testimony and be transparent about what God is doing in their life. Time out for playing church. Like when you come in here, this is the only thing. You are the church. Bring the church where you are. And let the light shine where you are. If you're in the club, let your light shine.
Yeah.
Right. If you're in the barroom, let your light shine.
Yeah.
If you're on the corner, let your light shine.
Yeah.
In the classrooms, let your light shine. All your jobs, let your light shine. Let your light shine before me.
Lord,
that it may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The world is looking for folks that are able and ready to help them realize it's a new day. The morning is here. And that God is able to make you shout.
Yes, sir.
His glory.
Yes, sir.
My beloved brothers and sisters, yesterday, let me look at the clock, has passed.
Yes, sir.
It's a new day.
Yes, sir.
Now the tank is the day for salvation. Yesterday is gone. Today is the day for salvation. It's a new day.
It's a new day.
We need to stop lingering on the past and put too much stock on yesterday or tomorrow and live in the now. Today is the day for salvation. It's a new day. Today is the day for deliverance. Today is the day for healing. Today is the day for restoration. Today is the day for unity. God, you just make me want to shout.
Yeah. Come on, doctor.
Today is the day for mending. Today is the day for liberation. Today is the day for new mercies and new grace. Today is the day for forgiveness. Today is the day for justice. Today is the day for love. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice. And be glad in God. You know you make me want to shout. Get my heels up and shout. Throw my hands up and shout. Throw my head back and shout.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
You know you make me want to shout.
Throw my hands up and shout. Throw my feet up and shout. Throw my head back and shout. Hey, hey.